Your top source for golf news and entertainment on the radio, online, and on your smartphone. That's why we call it Destination Listening for dedicated golfers. And once again, you found it. It's Tee to Green. It's the Golf Show along with Debbie O'Connell. I'm Jay Ritchie. We've got Robert DeCosa in Master Control and excited to bring you another big show today. Debbie's got her bags packed. She's ready to hit the road. And where are you heading to this week, Debbie?
Well, I'll be on the road for a short amount of time, and then I'm getting on a ship. I'm heading from Bayonne, New Jersey, over to Bermuda. We dock there for 3 days, and we'll have a blast the entire time and then head on back next week. I will be back in time for next week's show, so I'm looking forward to that as well today.
Okay, I'm sure you have a couple of good stories to tell us, too, right?
I just might, because, you know, I'll be involved with karaoke and any other fun events they have on the ship. I'm all in.
All right. Speaking of good stories, Colin Prater's got a great one, and hopefully he'll join us later in the hour to tell us. He's the high school science teacher from Cheyenne Mountain High School right here in Colorado Springs who qualified for the U.S. Open. He's no stranger to golf, of course. He was a D2 college All-American golfer and Colorado's Amateur Golfer of the Year a couple of times before he went out and qualified for the Open. But he rubbed elbows at Pinehurst just about 3 weeks ago with the best players in the world, and we'll get his story later in the show. That should be fun to have Colin Prater joining us here on Tee to Green.
I'm really looking forward to hearing from Colin. That is going to be exciting to hear the stories of this amateur golfer who did compete with some of the players formerly in his amateur career. So he has lots of great stories to share. Stay tuned for later in the show. But right now, we have an amazing guest as well, Jay.
A first-time guest on Tee to Green. It's hard to imagine the world of golf and the world of golf course design without Robert Trent Jones, one of the most iconic names and brands in all of golf. This is a guy who for over 40 years designed or redesigned over 500 golf courses here in the United States and in some 35 countries. He's been gone now nearly a quarter of a century, but his legacy is being carried on by his sons and his grandsons in the golf course design business and by the Robert Trent Jones Society, which was created in 2004 and currently consists of some 40 clubs worldwide that were designed by Robert Trent Jones Sr. The guy, the main guy at the Robert Trent Jones Society is David Lee, and David is on the Tee to Green guest line with us right now, and we welcome him to the big show. Hey, David, how you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me on.
David's also a Colorado guy, so we really got a Colorado connection going on this show here today. Before we get to talking about specifically about the society, obviously, you being a member of the Robert Trent Jones Society and very passionate about what you do, and which we appreciate you bringing that to the show with you today, but how did you get started in this particular facet of the golf business?
Well, that's a great question. The society is made up of volunteers from various member courses. So as you said earlier, there are 40 member courses. And during COVID, I was living in California and was a member at Valencia Country Club, which Robert Trent Jones designed in 1965. I grew up playing golf. I'm from the Midwest. And growing up, particularly being from Ohio, Robert Trent Jones and the courses that he designed, such as Firestone and Otter Creek and Boyne Mountain, which I had the privilege to play, really seared in my mind that he designed golf courses that were a cut above. And Debbie, you mentioned going to Bermuda. I had the privilege of playing Port Royal in Bermuda. I hope you get a chance to play it, along with the golf course at my alma mater up at the U.S. Military Academy. So I was very familiar with Robert Trent Jones before joining Valencia and was quite frankly surprised that they had not sought out the society. So I did that, and then through my activities getting Valencia to be a member, they drafted me to continue to do marketing and communications, which was my profession. I'm retired now. We moved back to Colorado, and so we're real excited this year to have the annual gathering of the Society in Colorado Springs at the Air Force Academy, and we'll talk about that later.
Well, David, yeah, I actually have played Port Royal, and it is an incredible golf course in Bermuda. But I want to congratulate you on the release of the design genius of Robert Trent Jones, Sr. It's an incredible, incredible presentation of the principles that Robert Trent Jones used and that he adhered to. He had 8 key design principles. And he adhered to them. What do you think was the most significant impact on modern golf today, and why?
That's a great question, because I don't think many people really understand that the golf courses that they play today, be they modern or redesigned golf courses, really in all respects carry the stamp of what he brought forward from the post-Depression era into modern golf. And that's what we created the design brochure to help tell that story. So we put in there, in the brochure, 8 design principles. And they're ranked in priority order. The first one, which is routing, he really emphasized how to use the topography, how to create an exciting golf course in terms of the tempo of par fours, par fives, use the topography very, very well to create golf courses. And that was emulated from the 40s on until his death. And so when we think of older courses, such as the Donald Ross courses that we also venerate, and the new courses like the Cork Crenshaw courses or the Tom Doak courses, you can't get from A to Z without really crossing everything that RTJ brought to golf design and to the modern game that we all just enjoy so much.
Yeah, and he did this. He started in the late 30s, early 40s, and was still at it just before he died in 2000. So that encompasses some 60 years. And can you imagine trying to keep up with all the changes and the technology? But he was not only able to do that, but he created that legacy that's still alive today.
Yes, his sons do a great job. Speaking of the course appreciation guide, the brochure that you're referring to, I had the distinct privilege of meeting with Reese and Bobby, his two sons, interviewing them and interviewing a number of our top journalists who follow golf architecture. So between the sons, even though they have their own expression of how those principles get applied, you do see that in even the most modern courses. Valencia went through a redesign by Jason Straka, and that too, when he met with the members of the club about the redesign, he was very careful to keep the Jones routing and the Jones green complexes because he wanted it to remain a Robert Trent Jones course.
It is always key to keep the legacy going. And we get to talk a lot more about that because David Lee is going to stay with us for our next segment.
Yeah, he's going to do a couple of segments with us. He did mention the fact that the Society is coming to the Air Force Academy for its annual meeting in September. We'll get into that as well with our guest, who is David Lee with the Robert Trent Jones Society. The sun never sets on a Robert Trent Jones golf course. We'll also ask him about the origin of that saying as well. When we come back and continue with more of Tee to Green headed your way on this Sunday, we'll be right back after this. Yeah.
It's Tee to Green. It's the show by golfers for golfers. I'm Jay Ritchie along with Debbie O'Connell. Coming up later in the hour, we'll talk to Colin Prater, the amateur golfer, high school science teacher who qualified and played at the recent U.S. Open at Pinehurst last month. He didn't make the cut, but I'm sure there's memories that'll last a lifetime for Colin Prater, and he'll be joining us to tell us about some of those later in the hour here on Tee to Green.
And right now we have David Lee on the line. He is the marketing chairperson for the Robert Trent Jones Society. Before break, Jay mentioned this amazing quote, "The sun never sets on a Robert Trent Jones golf course." David, would you explain the history of that saying?
Well, I don't know when that was actually said. Robert Trent Jones was a big self-promoter, so I think that it is attributed to him as he started to design courses in the Pacific and also in Europe. So like the it's taken obviously from the quote about the British Empire, his work stretches around the globe, so I think that it's appropriate to say that there's probably the sun shining somewhere where you could play a Robert Trent Jones golf course. And if you knit all the courses together, I know that Ron Witten, who was the architecture editor emeritus, he also said the same thing.
David, in the golf industry itself, the legacy of Robert Trent Jones, I'm sure, very secure. What about outside of the industry and today's golfers coming up and learning the game, and there's so many new people to the game of golf since the end of the pandemic? What are you doing to reach those people and to keep that legacy alive outside of the golf industry?
Well, Robert Trent Jones was not just making great golf courses like Spyglass or Firestone. He also gave back to the industry quite a bit. I believe there's something like 10 courses that he did for the military so that individuals in the serving our country could learn the game at posts and bases around the globe. He also did a lot of work for municipal golf, courses like Tanglewood and the Robert Trent Jones Trail. They're all examples of making golf more accessible to everyone. He was also particularly careful to make sure that golf wasn't just for the pro golfers by developing what's commonly referred to as the runway tees. He was the first person to come up with multiple teeing options so that beginners, ladies, older people could select their tees. And you see that today as something that the USGA is really embracing to continue to expand the game.
Yeah. He also said something, and I saw this in the brochure, where he talked about bunkers, and most people, most golfers hit a ball into the bunker. They're not very happy about it. But Robert Trent Jones says bunkers, the reason bunkers are out there is so that the golfers play the course the way he and other designers want it to be played. And that's a really good way to approach bunkers instead of being so negative about them. Think of them as helping them guide you through the course.
Oh, absolutely. He used bunkers not so much as a penal feature that if you hit into them, you would pay the price. He used them more to shape the direction with which to play the hole. He changed a lot of the bunkering, and a lot of his work was in redesigning earlier work by people like Donald Ross, and he continued to do that throughout his career to really change that from being cross-bunkering to more how to shape the hole. You're correct.
There is so much to learn from this amazing man, and he's left an incredible legacy. And all of this and so much more will be discussed at the upcoming 20th Annual Robert Trent Jones Society meeting coming up in September at the Air Force Academy, a place I've been, absolutely beautiful, and then specifically the Eisenhower Blue Course, which Robert Trent Jones designed in 1960 at the behest of his close friend, President Eisenhower. Share what will happen during this annual meeting.
Sure. So we do this every year, typically in the fall. Last year we were in New York at the Tuxedo Club, a private club that's just fantastic. And we've had it in places like Valderrama in Spain. But this year it's coming to Colorado, which we are all very, very excited about. The director of golf there, newly retired director of golf, Steve Wallace, is really rolling out the red carpet. The annual gathering is open to golfers from our 40 clubs. And so they will come in on Thursday the 12th. The Broadmoor, which is our newest member and our 40th member, has offered a play for those people who are coming in early. But the event itself will take place at the Air Force Academy at the Eisenhower course. On the 13th and 14th, we'll be playing golf and having presentations by some of the people who helped Robert Trent Jones design the Air Force Academy course and have met him. That'll be an exciting presentation. And then we're extremely excited about having Hollis Stacey, three-time Ladies U.S. Open champion, come and participate as well. And she's going to do a presentation on the last night about expanding the game and greater inclusivity in the game of golf. She has agreed to come to the event. She will be our 2024 Legacy Award recipient. The last 2 years, we gave that to Lee Trevino and Al Geiberger. And she will recount how she won on Robert Trent Jones courses, as well as what she liked about them and what she thinks the future of golf has in store. So it's going to be a very big time. We've got about 70 people already enrolled from roughly 10 to 15 of our clubs. I didn't get a recent count, but it ought to be a very good time. This will be the third one that my wife and I have attended, and we really enjoyed the camaraderie.
And what are the dates on that again?
September 12th is registration, and registration, again, is only for those 40 club members that are part of the society. And then that continues with golf on the 13th and 14th of September.
Well, at the same time, when you talked about Hollis Stacey, one of the great women golfers to compete on the LPGA Tour and obviously play very well at Robert Trent Jones golf courses. Well, at the same time that this is going on for the Robert Trent Jones Society, the Solheim Cup will be played at the Robert Trent Jones Golf Club in Gainesville, Virginia. And this is another incredible venue. And share with us, if you know this course at all, do you know some of the unique elements that this will make this an ideal venue to bring in the best players in Europe to compete against our best players here in the United States for the 2024 Solheim Cup?
Well, I'm not familiar with the Robert Trent Jones golf course, but it is an interesting point that you raise. The number of President Cups, Solheim Cups, and Ryder Cups that have been played on Robert Trent Jones courses dwarf all other designers. And I had the distinct privilege of talking with Tom Marzoff, who did the design work for Adair Manor in Ireland that is going to hold the Ryder Cup in a few years. And he and I were talking about why is it that the Ryder Cup always goes back to RTJ courses. And the reason is the pros like to play heroic shots. And he always had, and this is in the design brochure, he always embraced opportunities for the most heroic shots, for average golfers and for pros. And those type of courses really excite the players and, of course, the audience. I don't know about the course in Virginia, but I have no doubt that there are plenty of heroic shots that the pros are just anxious to attempt to delight their fans.
The sun never sets on a Robert Trent Jones golf course. You don't have to be a Ryder Cupper or a PGA Tour pro to play an RTJ design. And I'm sure if you're an avid golfer anywhere in the world and you're listening to Tee to Green today, you have probably played at one time or another a golf course designed by Robert Trent Jones, whether here or abroad. We've been talking to David Lee. He's with the Robert Trent Jones Society. David, if people want more information, can they go to their website or somewhere they can go to find that information?
Sure, absolutely. The website is RobertTrentJonesSociety.com, and there's a lot of information there. You can also watch golf being played on four of our member courses in upcoming televised activities such as Solheim Cup, the senior championship that is going to be played at the Broadmoor, and this year's USGA amateur that will be played at Hazeltine. Calabasas.
All right, RobertTrentJonesSociety.com, the website. David Lee with the Robert Trent Jones Society.